Well, anybody who has talked to me at all in the last 2 months probably knows or has heard a rumor that Jenny and I just purchased a new property in Paoli, Indiana. It's practically all that I talk about. It's recreational. It's to use as, for a lot of reasons. But so we're not moving. Don't worry. We're not leaving. I love Indy. I don't think I could ever leave Indy. I don't know. Maybe someday. But not anytime soon. It's my home for sure. But we bought this property in Paoli, and we have fallen in love. It is this beautiful place. It's situated just right on the edge of the Hoosier National Forest. We've moved our camper down there, and it's just gorgeous. I love it so much. But I've talked about it a lot. You've probably heard me talk about. But as I began to think about opening our series on community today, I couldn't help but think of this Paoli property because of a good old man named Bill. Now, Bill is a man that I've known now for less than a month, but he is a man that I trust, and I'll tell you why. When I very first bought this property in Paoli, I went and I had seen that there were a few neighbors nearby, and so I kind of made my presence known that I was in the area and this was my, place now, and I'd be here off and on. And Bill came out to greet me. Bill's my neighbor to the east, I suppose. And Bill came out and welcomed me with just such joy and such affection and such, politeness and with so much enthusiasm. It was remarkable, honestly. It's not what I expected to meet with somebody who, this property is way out in the country, and so I just didn't expect a neighbor to come out and, come all the way to my property, and welcome me. But he did. He met me. He introduced himself. He told me a little bit about himself and his wife and how long they'd been there and asked me about my family. And then the next day, and this was even more shocking, Bill has been the high school band director at Paoli High School for the last 25 years. And Bill, the very next day I get up in the morning. I don't know why I did this, because that's not how it happened. It was more like this. I get up the next morning, and I see that Bill has sent me a friend request on Facebook. And I'm like, man, Bill, look at you. What a guy. And so he friend requests me, and then immediately I'm like, man, I like this guy. Well, I was in Indy, and the electric company had come to our property in Paoli, and I just shot him a text. Hey, Bill, would you be willing to snap me a picture of their work so I can make sure that's good before I come down? Oh, yeah, no problem. He walks right over there, snaps a picture. Amazing, right? So then we show up the next week, and Bill comes right back over and introduce himself to Jenny and the girls, and we had a few friends there with us, and he asks me some questions about myself because we're now Facebook friends, and so now he knows things about me because the internet. And so he's asking me these personal questions, and I was like, man, Bill, this is, what a guy, right? And so he's asking me about my family, he's asking me about my work that I do, about my interests, he asked me about my faith, and we just had this great conversation. And then the next day, before we're getting ready to pack up and go, he comes over with a card from him and his wife. That's, it's like, hey, welcome to the neighborhood, lists all of our names, Brandon, Jenny, June, and Annie, and says, this is a little place we like to go. Check it out. And has a gift card for a local restaurant in it. And I thought, man, how did I get so lucky to find a neighbor like Bill? It just blew me away. And I'm going to tell you, I was thrilled and excited. But man, did that make me start questioning myself? I thought, man, do my neighbors feel this welcome around me? Do my neighbors, when they talk about me, do they say, man, Brandon, what a guy, that guy? Do my neighbors, I already, after knowing Bill I met him May 11th, so less than a month, I feel like Bill's somebody I could trust. Like, if there's something going on in the property that I'm not sure about, I'm calling Bill, because he's somebody that I feel like that can help me when I'm in need. Do my neighbors think that about me? It made me think a lot. It made me reflect a lot about the presence in my community And guess what, guys? I'm known as like the community guy, right? Like I run a community center. You know, I've lived in our neighborhood for almost 10 years now. Like, everybody knows me as the community guy. In fact, I was in the community center the other day, the community center that I run downtown, and I was sitting with a friend, and one of the little girls from the neighborhood walked in. I said, "Hey, Kalia, how's it going? This is my friend Jonathan." And she just kind of looked at him and was like, "Hi." And I said, "Are you surprised that I have friends?" And she just like kind of gave me one of those. And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "You're like the community center guy. He's probably like a community person." And I was like, "Okay, well, yeah, that adds up. You know, he was from our community. We were meeting, talking about community things. She got me." All that to say is that I don't know all my neighbors. You know, like people like assume that I'm the community guy. But honestly, I'm just as guilty as the next person. You know, if you had to ask me all my surrounding neighbors' names, I couldn't tell you. I know a lot of them. And some of them I'm really close with, but I don't know all of them. Now, to be fair, our neighborhood is the most densely populated neighborhood in the city of Indianapolis. So now I'm just justifying and I'm trying to get you guys, I'm trying to feel better about myself, basically. But the fact of the matter is that I think we all need work. We all can be better community people like Bill. You know, I've still sat and just thought about it. I was just blown away by the fact that Bill just took all the extra time to come and meet me. Now, to be also fair, Bill hasn't probably had a new neighbor in 20 years. I think that all of our interconnectedness with like things globally and all over the place has distanced us from sitting on our porch and talking or baking a pie for the next door neighbor. In fact, I was thinking about this recently because Jenny, for some reason, the other day she texted me this. She said, "If there was one invention that you could pick to never be invented, what would it be?" And I'm sitting at work like, where did this come from? Like, I don't know. I sat there and I thought, oh. And you know what my answer? Any guesses what I said? Anybody want to make a stab at it? Not the cell phone, not the internet. What? A blow dryer? I wouldn't have thought about that. Garage door, that's an interesting one. No, mine was way older than that and I'm sorry, Locke family, this is really going to devastate you, but my answer was the combustion engine. And let's back up. First of all, I said, "Jenny, there's no way I can pick something because I feel like anything I picked is going to have some latent effects that I won't have thought about. And it's going to devastate us somehow and do all kinds of bad, you know, butterfly effect kind of thing." And I'm like, "I just can't pick." And she was like, "No, you have to pick." And so I said, "Fine." So I just tried to go. I just tried to go for the Hail Mary. I figured just go way back. And I don't know, like, I thought about it for a second. I thought, well, yeah, you know, the combustion engine, sure, it's brought plenty of good to our lives, but it's also brought a lot of negative. And I think a lot of our disconnect is because of our ability to travel far and to get away and to travel quickly and far. And so that was my answer. Now, I know that there are a whole bunch of things that I would probably hate in life if we didn't have the combustion engine. And so don't hear me saying that like I'm not looking at through history through rose-colored glasses. I'm not actually trying to say that we should like become Amish and stop using technology. Don't hear that. That's not the point of today's message. The point is, I think our ability to move further and quicker, and I don't just mean physically, but through the internet and through all sorts of things, has disconnected us from the people who are in our immediate presence. And again, I will say again that I'm not saying that that's all bad. I think that the internet and that our ability to travel has done wonderful things for our world. I think that there are some aspects of globalization that are really positive, and that we could go into talking the positives and negatives of that, I'm sure, for days on end. But the point that concerns me is that knowing the folks in your immediate community is important. And I think it's an art that we've lost hold of a little bit. And it may not be your next door neighbor, you know. For me, it probably is, because my next door neighbor's house is approximately 8 inches from my house. So, it's not a joke. I've measured. We're close, you know. And so for me, my community's really close. But I mean, like, again, the locks. Your next door neighbor is not that close. You know, or for some of you, maybe Donnie and Sandy back there, you know, your neighbor is probably pretty far away too, your next door neighbor. You know, what? 10 inches instead of 8, see? So it's more challenging for folks. So some of you may not have that immediate connect with your immediate next door neighbor, but maybe it's your coworkers, you know. Maybe it's the folks at the gym or at your school or at wherever you spend a large quantity of your time. Maybe those are the folks that are in your community. Maybe those are the folks that you need to spend more time with. Being like Bill, you know, being like somebody that is going to take interest, real and true interest, in who you are and what you like. And be there when you need something. Maybe it's even folks that you interact with a lot on social media. Those could be the people that you're closest with. It's possible, I believe, for some of us in this room, that those interactions are the nearest and dearest and make the most impact on our lives and on the lives of others. And that could be it. The fact of the matter is this: Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the fact behind that is, you just can't love somebody that you don't know. Period. I used to tell folks all the time when dealing with our, like at the community center, when people would come in and would volunteer stuff or do like little projects here and there, I'd say, you know, I really appreciate you coming. Like, the things you did were great, but the reality is, you can't really love our neighbors. I mean, you can, like, in small kind of ways, but really to truly love them, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, because they don't know our neighbors. They don't spend time with our neighbors. And those are key components that are really important. So the question for all of us is this: do folks in your community know that you really care about you, that you really care about them? Do they know, do they look at you as somebody that they could go to in a time of need? The answer for me is, some of them, I think, I hope. But that question bites at me a little bit. It hurts a little bit. The scripture I want to use for today is in Luke 10, when Jesus sends out the 72. And he simply says this. Luke 10:2 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I hope that you're as challenged today about community as I am. Because this is the grind. This is the tough work that the Lord has called us to love our neighbors, to be active in our communities, to go out into the fields. And what I want you to hear that's important, and this is what's really changed things for me, is that I want us to change our meter for what success is. Because I think a lot of times we're really results-driven society. Like, we want to see results. We want to see. But did you hear what was asked in that verse to pray for? What did Jesus tell them to pray for? Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So success for us then should be how many are going out. Not necessarily how many come in. Not necessarily what results you see or what you know, tangible and calculable difference that you can put up on your charts that you made. The prayer is that we go out. That's all that the Lord has called us to. He says, go out into the fields. The workers are few. And so I hope that as you're challenged by this morning, you don't hear me saying that you need to go out and you know, find 10 people and you need to get them all saved. That's not what I'm saying this morning. Although that would be lovely, sure. The challenge is to go out. The challenge is to get out into your communities and to be known and to know others. The challenge, I think, for me personally, is to be like Bill. To put yourself out there. To really show others that you care about them. And then to be someone that's just there when you need them. So that's all that I want to close with today. Are you going into your communities? Are you making your presence known as someone who truly cares about people and as someone who is there for folks when they need it? Are you loving your neighbors as yourself? I hope that challenges all of us this morning, because I know it sure does me. And this isn't a guilt thing. Like there's no guilt in this. Jesus said, love your neighbors as yourself. So, I mean, right? When I experienced that love from Bill, I didn't feel guilty. I thought, man, that felt great. I ought to do that for others. That made me feel really good. I bet I could make someone else feel good too. Let's pray this morning. God, we're so grateful that you took the audacious step out of heaven to teach us, to show us that you really care about us. And that you're there for us when we need you. I hope that we, as the body of Christ, would be that audacious. That we would step out in faith and love our neighbors. That we would step out and show people that we truly care for them. That we would propel forward the love that we have experienced from you. And that we wouldn't do it out of guilt or shame, but out of a genuine compassion for those around us. For just as we long to be loved and to feel like someone cares about us, we can rest assured that others feel the same way. Lead us, guide us, teach us, reveal to us this week, God, who our neighbors are, who those people around us are that you really want us to connect with, and give us boldness to love others fiercely. It's in your name we pray. Amen.